Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
A California nematology workshop will be held at the Kearney Agricultural Research and Extension Center on March 26, beginning at 8 a.m. It's organized by members of the UCANR Nematology Workgroup. This meeting is for consultants, diagnosticians, growers, and others interested in plant parasitic nematodes. Updates will be given on the newest methods of nematode suppression in annual and perennial crops. Changes in nematode management are imminent because of new regulations safeguarding chemical soil fumigation. Sampling considerations for nematode detection will be discussed, along with novel diagnostic techniques and the risk of newly introduced nematode species. After lunch, there will be hands-on sessions that will allow for folks to get a first-hand look at nematode symptoms and the soil-dwelling parasites. There will also be a brief field tour that will complete the nematology workshop. Continued education credits for DPR license holders are pending. For more information on the upcoming workshop, contact the Kearney Agricultural Research and Extension Center at the University of California, Riverside. The Lake County chapter of the California Women for Agriculture is offering scholarships from $500 to $2,500 to graduating high school seniors and college vocational students, regardless of gender, whose educational emphasis is related to agriculture and who will be attending a 2 or 4 year program as a full-time student. Recipients will receive their scholarship at the beginning of the first semester, conditioned on proof of full-time enrollment. Selected students will be encouraged to attend a CWA chapter meeting during the coming year to describe the course of study and how the scholarship has assisted in the pursuit of educational and career goals. Students must be a resident of Lake County, have a grade point average of 3.0 or greater, fill out the required scholarship application packet, which acknowledges a pursuit of a career in agriculture. Applications which do not clearly convey the applicant's pursuit of a career as it relates to agriculture will not be considered. And students must be willing to participate in an interview with the CWA Scholarship Committee if requested. The application packet must include the CWA signed application form, a letter of recommendation, and a current or most recent transcript. For more information, contact the Lake County Chapter of California Women for Agriculture and or call 707-245-4787. Napa Valley College is set to commence construction this spring on the Wine Spectator Wine Education Center, a state-of-the-art facility poised to revolutionize its acclaimed viticulture and winery technology program. With an initial $10 million grant from Marvin Schenken of Wine Spectator, this ambitious project hopes to mark a new era in wine education, blending advanced technology with hands-on learning to cultivate the next generation of wine industry leaders. An additional $2.5 million bequest from the estate of Evelyn Allen will fund the first phase of the construction project. Allen was a longtime Napa Valley College adult education student who bequeathed her estate to benefit the physical education and agricultural programs at the school. The new Wine Spectator Wine Education Center is a 7,000-square-foot classroom building that will be constructed as phase one of a larger project. It will feature two flexible sensory classrooms that can be combined to seat up to 80 students and a laboratory classroom with 28 lab stations designed to give students hands-on experience with wine laboratory practices. Schenken sees Napa Valley College's VWT program as playing a critical role in the future of the wine in Napa Valley. The college is now raising funds to address the second phase of the project, which is a wine and hospitality training center. It's estimated to cost between $3 and $4 million. This building will be dedicated to comprehensive training in wine marketing, sales, and hospitality, and will encompass areas such as winery food programs, wine club management, tasting room operations, tourism, and the role of a winery chef. The program currently offers classes in its Napa Valley Vintners Teaching Winery. The Trefethen California bell pepper production has been held up by rains, which have even impacted some of the desert growing areas in Coachella. Also, reports indicate that California growers are planting 20 to 30% less pepper product than last year. That's going to continue to drive markets higher, and that's driven again by production costs. That according to Neil Mazzal of East Coast Farms and Vegetables. In an effort to preserve the authenticity of the state's fungi production, California mushroom cultivators are rallying behind Assembly Bill 1833, introduced by Assemblymember Don Addis. This legislation seeks to restrict the use of California-grown or California mushroom labels exclusively to mushrooms fully cultivated within the state. As the nation's second-largest mushroom producer, California's move could significantly impact the industry. Chris Battle of Mighty Cap Mushrooms highlighted the pervasive issue of imported mushrooms, noting a substantial portion comes from countries like China, Australia, and Canada. Battle emphasized the superior quality and longevity of genuinely local mushrooms, despite their higher costs compared to imported varieties. The initiative, supported by industry stakeholders such as Far West Fungi's Aaron Razor and Kyle Garone, aims to clarify labeling, enabling consumers to distinguish truly local products. This legislative push underscores the broader implications for agricultural transparency and consumer choice. While almond bloom is going on in the state, Bikram Hundle of Custom Almonds LLC says that while growers don't necessarily want rain during the bloom period, the water is very much needed after several weeks of moisture that the state has received. This year's bloom has been better compared to last year. He says he thinks they'll have a better crop and a higher crop compared to last year. However, it's still very early and a lot of things can happen. Meanwhile, the existing supply, which had a significant carryover going into the season, is reducing. He says they have had record shipments every month, so the supply has gone down. They've moved the carryover, which has been very helpful in the market. Export markets are up about 12.2%, and leftover inventory is about 1.76 billion pounds, around 11.44% less than last year. This is a healthy inventory level and will make a smooth transition once a new crop kicks in. Also factoring into the upcoming crop is the state of the almond industry. Hundle says many older orchards have been removed. The pricing had been so depressed that the farmers were not putting in any inputs, and they didn't do much this year either. Many have been selective in taking care of their orchards and doing their bare minimum to keep them running, so that will impact production as well, he says. At the same time, there aren't many newer plantings coming in to replace those trees. With higher interest rates, he does not think many banks or lenders are financing orchards as well, and they're not giving them capitalized costs on developing orchards either. Banks are very selective in financing the orchards, he says. Meanwhile, pricing, which has been low, is shifting. The price is so low and still very depressed, he says, noting almonds are largely being exported. Recently, there's been a slight softening of markets. Before this, the price was going up as inventory was shrinking, with increased shipment numbers and buyers securing product. However, once there is a better idea of how the new crop will shape up following the bloom, that will indicate what's ahead. He says if the bloom is not that great and it looks like they'll have a short crop, there will be an uptick in pricing. And the California Department of Food and Agriculture is asking everyone to save the date for March 19th, as it is California Agriculture Day on the west slopes of the California Capitol. Discussion points will be next-gen tools, talent, and technology. Again, Ag Day 2024 on the west steps of the California Capitol on March 19th.
The Citrus Showcase, hosted by California Citrus Mutual in collaboration with My Ag Life and JCS Marketing, is coming up next week, March 14th in Visalia, California, at the Visalia Convention Center. The event will feature educational CEU opportunities for PCAs, CCAs, and growers, as well as networking opportunities for the greater industry. Casey Creamer, President and CEO of California Citrus Mutual.
Citrus Thrips this last season was a very impactful thing to the industry. We've been talking about it with our pest and disease task force about management strategies, on regulatory changes, things that we can impact at the Department of Pesticide Regulation, working with our county ag commissioners. So there's a lot of topics we've been talking about, and Thrips is just a hot topic. And so Dr. Sandeepa Gautam is going to be there. She's talking about the pest management updates, which Thrips is one of them, and part of the core program that the Citrus Research Board, you know, develops, working with Dr. Gautam. And so that's just a very timely and relevant topic. And then also we can make sure that the growers get some CE units as well. So, and then we've got, another topic is, continuing expansion of HLB quarantines. We've got, now it is the new quarantine in the Ventura region. And in addition to HLB quarantine, we now have fruit fly quarantines all over the state. It's been the worst outbreak of fruit flies. And so Victoria Hornbaker, who's from the Citrus Division of CDFA, will be providing some of those updates to growers as part of it. So it just allows us to bring in relevant industry topics and also check the boxes that need to be checked so that growers can maintain their licenses, their pest control licenses.
The showcase will also feature keynote luncheon speaker Karen Ross, CDFA Secretary of Agriculture, and breakfast speaker David Magana of Rabo Research, who will discuss challenges and opportunities for citrus markets. There will also be a conversation with California Citrus Mutual leadership.
Prior to becoming Ag Secretary, she was Chief of Staff for Secretary Tom Vilsack back in D.C. In his first stint as the USDA Secretary. And prior to that, she represented growers very similar to CCM, the government levels for California Association of Wine Grape Growers. So she's been around a long time, seen a lot of things. Her department, CDFA, has got the Citrus Division, which is longstanding effort to combat HLB. And now they're, the lead working with USDA to combat the fruit fly outbreaks. And so there's a lot of relevant topics, hot topics in the citrus industry about what they're doing to protect, keep the fruit flies from spreading as much as we possibly can, to eliminate the quarantines that are there through getting rid of the fruit flies and protecting not just the areas of citrus that are in these quarantines, but keep this thing from affecting export markets. Because if we lose our fruit fly status, that affects everybody when it comes to exports, which are a very, very important part of the overall citrus economy. So, state of the agriculture, she's seeing it all. She's seeing what's happening in walnuts and almonds, and some of the other markets are depressed across the board when it comes to agriculture. So, having the citrus perspective, the greater ag perspective, and then more detail on what's happening with fruit flies and HLB just felt like it was a really timely, a really important time to bring her and have her share her story and what her recommendations are for us in the citrus industry. So very happy to have her. Just as importantly, our kickoff speaker at 8 a.m. is going to be Dr. David Magana from Rabo Research. They're tracking all of the data around agriculture here in California and abroad, looking at land value, citrus market, imports coming in, water situation. So they're evaluating a lot of trends and looking at citrus specifically. And so be a great opportunity for growers to get a what's happening in citrus as far as from a bigger picture perspective. And so growers can get that information and kind of help them make more informed decisions about the future of their groves and with packing houses, varieties, I mean, all kinds of issues that they're seeing from a global landscape that hopefully will be very relevant for growers. So that's at 8 a.m. Get there early to come for that. It's going to be a very informative conversation with Dr. Magana. And then in between that, we've got an industry session at 10 a.m. It's just going to be a conversation with CCM leadership. And so just felt there's always a number of topics that are important to growers and trying to fit, let's have a topic on water. Let's have a topic on labor. Let's have a topic on trade. Let's have a topic on pests and disease. We just felt like it was an important time to bring the leadership of CCM to talk in the committee structure that we have. We're organized. I'm obviously got a board of directors and executive committee. We've got a trade and marketing committee. We've got a government relations committee. We've got a water task force. We've got a labor task force. We've got a pest and disease task force. And so we've got the chairs of all of these groups. They're going to come give a quick overview of the topics that we're discussing, working on through the committee process. And then open it up to the forum of growers and, ask questions and what about this? And this is what concerns me on my operation and how are we prepared to deal with that or not, right? So just it's going to be a very conversation focused seminar, less presentations and reports. And so really hopeful that anybody interested in CCM, what the activities and what we're doing, this would be a real comprehensive way for growers to get up to speed and also learn how to get more involved.
Creamer said Citrus Mutual has strived for the showcase in recent years to have something for everyone in the industry, and this year's event is no exception.
We're constantly getting a lot of input from people on what's valuable to them, and frankly, there's no way with a limited type of program where we had, prior we just had sort of three sessions. We had a morning, we had a lunch, so three or four sessions at most. And so this is the only way to do it was to expand the show, to add some more rooms, to expand on the continuing education, and provide, that networking floor, which is important too. And one of the things that we kind of had to do that room differently because of COVID a few years back. And we had a lot of people that, told us they come to see colleagues. And so that floor was sort of developed to allow that kind of interaction. People, it gives them the opportunity to walk the floor, talk to vendors, run into a friend, have the space to have that conversation. Somebody leaves, you go and go talk to another vendor, then come back in the middle and see another friend or colleague. And so just something that people said that they really enjoyed. And so they're just trying to, it's feedback from the membership on what's important to them and doing everything we can to pack all that into one day.
Link to register for the showcase is in the description below. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
USDA has announced that signups for the 2024 Dairy Margin Coverage Program will open on February 28th and run through April 29th. For more information on the DMC program and other federally backed risk management programs, visit the National Milk Producers Federation website. The Environmental Protection Agency has issued a long-awaited final rule yesterday, allowing eight Midwestern states to permanently sell year-round E15, but as expected, EPA delayed the effective date until next year, citing concerns over insufficient fuel supply as a reason for the delay. States include Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. The ethanol industry got a morale boost recently at their annual conference. Renewable Fuels Association Chair Eric Huschett.
In ethanol's short history, we have already changed the world, and we've got a lot more work to do.
And Huschett was not alone in hailing the corn fuel's achievements since the 80s and those yet to come.
This new industry, this 36 billion gallon industry called sustainable aviation fuel, this is a tremendous opportunity for America to define the economy of the 21st century, as we did essentially define the economy of the 20th century.
That is USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, who said it's a chance for America to lead the way to a better and brighter future, one with a clean transportation sector and one that keeps hundreds of thousands of smaller farms farming. And he says that starts with creating new revenue streams for feedstocks and climate smart practices. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley says millions of taxpayer dollars funneled through the Environmental Protection Agency's grant programs were not used correctly. While the funds were used to cover recipient organizations' overhead costs and operating expenses, they did not produce tangible results demonstrating the efficacy of the Environmental Justice Program. Records and receipt tracking expenditures released recently show a vast portion of the $4.3 million allocated to the Environmental Justice Program was spent by grant recipients on internal and Superflow's purposes, including funding employees' salaries, covering benefits, and even paying for vacation expenses. Climate change poses real changes, but EPA's efforts to address climate issues through its 2021 Environmental Justice Program doesn't pass the smell test, according to Grassley. Having seen this laid bare, it's difficult to imagine how any taxpayer would want their hard-earned money invested in this program instead of putting those funds back into their own pockets, according to Grassley. Restaurant prices were up 5.1% last month compared to January of 2023. U.S. Labor Department data shows that grocery store costs increased 1.2% during the same period. Relief isn't on the immediate horizon as restaurant and food company executives continue wrestling with higher labor costs and more expensive ingredients like cocoa. The Agriculture Secretary and Deputy Secretary last week received the final report of recommendations by the Department's Equity Commission to improve access and inclusion across USDA. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Now, like for each of you co-chairs to sign the report before presenting to the Secretary and the Deputy Secretary.
Almost 70 recommendations to improve equity within the Agriculture Department. USDA's Equity Commission presented its final report Thursday to department leaders, including Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
This report is obviously somewhat about the past and a recognition that things have not been handled as they should have been. But as has been remarked here, it is also about the future, very much about the future.
The National Equity Summit at USDA headquarters Thursday marked the two-year anniversary since the launch of the commission, created to address areas of improved access and inclusion within Agriculture Department programs and services, in part through the final report issued. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Coming to you live today from the Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas. Many experts have said the agricultural economy has grown softer in the last 6 to 8 months. Nate Kaufman, Senior Vice President and Omaha Branch Executive with the Kansas City Federal Reserve, says it starts with lower commodity prices.
We've seen some declines in commodity prices, notably corn and other major commodities that would have large implications for the middle of the country as well, alongside what I would describe as much higher financing costs. Profits are likely to be thinner this year, but I would argue that the strength of recent years will limit much of the financial stress that we might otherwise have expected to see when you're looking at percentage declines in farm income.
While there are always exceptions, Kaufman says many farmers should be in strong enough financial shape to withstand the lower incomes in 2024.
I would argue that many producers are still, despite this expected decline in farm income, in a very, very strong financial position. And much of this has to do with storing up working capital during these past couple of years when incomes were very strong. Some of this had to do with government payments going back to 2020 and 2021. We interact a lot with bankers and other lenders. And in some of our conversations with bankers last year, we would have banks tell us that they actually do not have any borrowers on a watch list. And that's not common to have no borrowers on a watch list as it relates to potential risk.
However, he says weaker incomes in 2025 could make things more challenging across the board in agriculture.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.